Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Welcome to Nightlight, a horror movie podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Freddie, also known as Nighty Night. And today we have a very special guest. We have good old Riley Dandy talking about her new film, Things Will Be Different, which premiered at South by Southwest. And I have to say, well, first off, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me and calling me good old Riley Dandy. I like that intro.
Absolutely. To speak upon this film and stuff like that, can you give us a brief description of the plot and your character?
Yeah. So Things Will Be Different is kind of a like a sibling rekindling story. It's about this brother and sister who commit this crime, and they make a decision to go hide out for a couple of weeks in this safe house that ends up kind of transporting them back to an nondescript time. They try to hide out there for a couple of weeks, and then when it's time to go home, they can't get out. And hilarity ensues.
Yes. And this is directed by Michael Felker.
Yeah, written this and directed.
Written and directed. And this is his directorial feature film, right?
Yeah. And it's his debut.
Man, he knocked it out of the park. You all knocked it out of the park. This is one of my favorite films from South by Southwest.
Oh, thank you.
Kind of what we were talking about before we were recording. This was one of the first films I watched as well. And that really set the stage of why I love South by Southwest. They do such a great job of picking these amazing movies that a lot of people can come together and watch. And I just kind of want to ask, that's my first question, is how was your experience at South by Southwest premiering this movie in person?
Oh, that was wild. So I've never been to South by. It's a festival that I've wanted to go to for a very long time, but I made a deal with myself that I wouldn't go until I had a film showing there. And that ate at me every year because I have really bad FOMO. And every year that South by Southwest was happening, I was seeing all these photos and I was like, oh, I should have just gotten a ticket. I should have just gone. But I'm happy I waited because going for the first time and seeing the scale of it and you were saying earlier, all the fans, everyone that's really just going because they're excited about new films. It was really incredible. And, you know, seeing a packed out theater at every one of our screenings was to me, that never gets old. Like when you see someone lining up around a building to come see a movie that you're in, that forever is such a special feeling. And it was really palpable seeing how excited everyone was.
I love to hear that.
Yeah.
This film is something that's very special. I think it's so cleverly crafted as well. It's one of those films where it kind of sticks with you. And it's funny because when I did watch this movie, this was midnight. I just got it in my email. I popped it on. I'm tired from the day. And this definitely not only kept me awake, kept me interested. Love the characters, love the dialogue. Like I said, I love the creativity of this movie too.
Yeah.
Because it is a time travel piece, but it's a time travel piece that we've never seen before. And there's some mechanics in the movie of storytelling where I don't want to spoil too much because I feel like this is one movie that you should maybe even go in blind and just really enjoying how it progresses.
Yeah.
And of course there's even a couple twists at the end. We see a little bit more stuff that comes out of the movie itself. And without saying too much, there is something that you guys do with a safe that I thought was brilliant. I was like, this is a great way to communicate within timelines. That's all I'm gonna say. Very creative, really cool. How did that work out?
Filming with the same,
how do you act with that in the way too? Yeah.
Thank you for asking that question. So,
yeah, totally.
Because that is the thing. I love filmmaking because when you watch the finished product, you have no idea what went into that. Every single scene, there's something going on that the viewer has no idea about, what went into making it.
Yes.
And communicating with that, it's interesting because on the day, the buttons don't actually work.
Right.
Or they do, but I remember there was this one take where I was talking to it and I accidentally really recorded my own voice. And then I went and I pressed play and it was just playing my lines, like me saying my lines back to me. And I was like, what? It was like really alarming.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. And then, you know, we've got Felker, our director, saying the lines off camera just so I can have something to hear. But yeah, that was really funny because we, on day one, Adam, my co-star, tested positive for COVID.
Oh, man.
And
yeah.
Day one. And, you know, he's number one on the call sheet. And so most of the movie is, I mean, so much of it is the two of us, but more so it is him. And so not having him there for 5 days while he was isolating, all of my scenes got moved up to the first 5 days. So we shot all of the stuff that's just me in the first 3 days.
Sure.
And so doing all the stuff with me talking with the recorded in the safe was the first few days. And it was a learning curve. It was definitely like the first couple days of shooting.
That's cool to hear because I love the movie making aspect of things of like what audience would not know about this scene, right?
Yeah.
And it's cool to know it's like, all right, cool. The director was off to the side feeding you the lines to react to something, not just
yeah.
like an empty space, which is really cool to see. And sometimes like while you're making a movie, you don't know how the pieces all fit together. And then you see the final product and you're like, damn, it all worked out and it worked out really well.
Yes. Yeah. And that just comes down to like trusting the people that you're making this with. Cause we like,
yes.
as actors, we're such a small part of it. Like it's interesting because we're the ones that you see, but really our jobs are so much less involved than director, editor, producers. Like it really is in the hands of them. So it's interesting because we get to go do our job and then we don't see it for months. And then
right.
You're like, oh, wow, you guys really did a great job with this.
Yeah, it's a complete team effort for sure.
Yeah.
That's why I love bringing up in these interviews is that we talk about like the filmmaking process and every movie that gets made is a miracle in itself, making everything work. Things could go wrong and you have to go off the fly. You have to make sure everything works out.
Yeah.
And I think I love what you said. It's a lot of the trust that like everyone's going to do their job. Everyone's going to come together and make this miracle happen. And it's really great to see. And you are a huge part in this as well because you're bringing this vision to life. I'm actually a really big fan of your work. I think you're an extremely well-crafted artist and actor. Like one of the first things I've seen you in was obviously Christmas Bloody Christmas.
Yeah.
And I remember almost tweeting immediately. It's like, we have our new final girl. She's one of the best final girls out there. She's fantastic. I think I was talking about you and Lauren Lavera all year last year.
Wow,
about like
thank
having
you.
Like the best scenes ever and seeing how those were able to end. And
that's
beautiful thing.
I love when people bring Lauren and I up in the same conversation because I'm like one of her biggest fans. I think that she's incredible.
We need you two in the same movie at some point.
It would be
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah,
it
it's fighting
incredible.
Something off. Yeah, it would be cool.
I would, you know, I've seen on Twitter people or X, sorry, people talking about like Tori and Sienna in the same
universe.
Yeah, he's so sick.
The beautiful thing I like about your acting is that when you're giving out dialogue, it feels very authentic and very genuine. It feels very grounded. It feels real. And that obviously has to do with the script as well, because that's what you're getting the lines from. But you and Adam do such a great job of bouncing off each other's chemistry and energy. And it feels like I'm really watching a sister and brother. I have an older sister. I'm like, this is how we bicker sometimes. This is like, it feels real. And it feels like there is that tension of like, oh yeah, we're trying to reconnect, but also we're trying to go through something that we're trying to survive in a way. And kind of work together and build that bond again to accomplish what you guys are trying to do in this film. And before I kind of go too deep into the movie itself, it does seem like feels like a psychological thriller, a little bit of sci-fi elements, even some horror aspects. And of course, being a horror podcast and seeing your past work, What brings you to horror? Why horror? Did you ever grow up with it, or did you kind of fall into this genre and ended up loving it or hating it? Totally up to you how you want to decide.
What if I was like, I hate it?
You'll
No,
still tune out. I'm just kidding.
yeah, we're done. We're done.
We're done.
So it's funny. I've watched horror since I think like middle school is when I started getting into it. My best friend Tara, she and I on Friday nights used to go to our like small town equivalent of Blockbuster. And we would like just go look at the covers of DVDs and just pick one out for a scary movie just based on the cover. And yeah, I think that was like the first time I started getting into it. And then no one I knew except for her really enjoyed horror. So it became something that I like watched on my own, but I can't watch them at night because I won't be able to sleep. So I'll like on a Saturday morning, I'll like pop on a horror movie. My fiance cannot watch them. He's the biggest scaredy cat. So I it is it's become like my little secret that I do on my own. But I have always wanted to do a horror movie, and when Christmas Bloody Christmas came along, it was so great because like I had been doing a lot of rom-coms and I love rom-coms. But I'm so much more drawn to genre films, and there's, like everybody loves a good rom-com, but something about the horror community and like what horror movies do to bring people together and how they stick with people, like I've always wanted to be a part of something like that. And I was a little nervous coming into the horror realm because I thought that things that I've done in the past that like horror fans weren't gonna accept me, but everyone's been so wonderful. And I hope to keep doing more of them because they're so fun.
No, absolutely. I do have to say, and I've definitely said it a lot in the show before, the horror community is one of the nicest, most welcoming like groups of people I've ever met in my whole entire life.
I 100% like it's honestly like it's been really beautiful to see because not every community is that way. So it like I think yeah, like horror fans are I anytime I meet someone who enjoys anything that I've done in the horror realm, like we automatically feel like friends. And I think that's really nice. Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where it's like you're sharing something special. And I always talk about like real life is more horrific than any type of horror film, right? We're trying to survive every single day. We go through a lot.
That
And
says, you're so right. That says a lot. If we're trying to find sanctuary in horror films, something's wrong with this world.
there's catharsis in it. And it's
Yep.
like, and that's the thing too, like when we get our like final girl or we see these like heroes conquered whatever demon possession whatever,
Yeah.
it's like if they can do it I can do it, and that's just
Totally.
battling the real like life struggles and stuff like that,
Yeah.
and it just brings people joy. It gives you that little adrenaline rush. That's why people love roller coasters and stuff like that
Oh
too.
yeah.
But then it gives you that relief when the credits start rolling and it's just like damn, that was a good
You're
ride.
like, I made it.
Yes, I'm one of those sick guys that like if you make me scared, I start chuckling because I'm like, oh, I've seen so much horror that you actually got me, and I love it, and I love seeing it too. It's such a great genre, and that's why I love doing what I do and talking about horror films, and especially with you, who's gets to be a part of it. It's a really cool insight to look at what's behind the camera as well, and
Yeah.
kind of see the filmmaking process and about your characters. They feel so layered and so driven, and they have motivation, and they're going through so much too. You go through a lot of physicality and mentality in this movie. There's some great action sequences in here where you literally kick ass, and it's great.
Thank you.
And then you get that little twist at the end where it's just like, oh, that's pretty cool. But you know, no spoilers here. How was getting into a role like that, reading the script and knowing what you had to do?
It to me it's really exciting because I love action. I really want to do more of it. Like one of my favorite movies growing up was Indiana Jones. Like I love a sort of, like action adventure-y sort of movie and story. And like I've been really lucky to play characters that are determined women, that like don't sit idle. And I
Yeah.
really appreciate that. But when I saw, when I got the script for Things Will Be Different, I immediately identified with her because she has a daughter and I've got four nieces that I'm obsessed with. Don't have any kids, but I immediately like got the connective tissue between Sydney and her daughter and like what gives her the drive. And so that's what made me initially like drawn to it. And then seeing the action sequences that I had to do, yeah, I was just pumped. And we worked with like an incredible stunt coordinator for a certain scene in the film, to make everything just look dirty and you know, not
Right.
cleaned. And that stuff gets me really excited. I love that.
I do have to give a major shout out to the stunt teams out there.
Yeah.
They don't get enough credit. They definitely should get some credit in the Oscars as well. They do an
100%.
incredible job with making these sequences so realistic and very grounded and give you that believability that this is actually happening. You are in danger. And then you're giving that performance that, you know, ups it as well and just
Well, that's
like
yeah,
killing
that's
it.
the thing. Like that kind of stuff as well, like helps with performance so much because you're actually exhausted. And you know, when you come home from 10 hours of stunt training and you're exhausted and you're bruised and you're sore, and then you have to go film that the next day, like that, I don't know. I don't know if I'm sick, but I love feeling exhausted by that at the end of the day. And it like, even though your mind knows that what you're doing is fake, your body doesn't know the difference because you're still, you're, you know, forcing yourself to essentially like hyperventilate or, you know, fight someone or something. And yeah, I think like your body helps you get into the mode of like, oh shit, this is real.
Yeah, you're channeling your body into like survival mode. It's like,
Yeah.
oh, I feel like a sense of danger because you're making me feel like a sense of danger.
Yeah.
And
It's a
then,
weird, it's a really weird push and pull because like mentally I'm like, this is fake, but my body is still like going through all the motions.
So the body's like, I don't know if this is fake or not, but I'm gonna start reacting the way I need to, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I love asking this next question where was there a very specific behind the scenes moment where it's like you guys got that one shot that you needed or a funny moment or just like the most memorable part of the filmmaking process? I always like knowing, you know, what happens that the audience would never know. And maybe like somebody told me it's like, oh, we had this kid actor and we had to teach him how to limp because he never limped before. So we put a rock in his shoe. I'm like, that's
Oh.
kind of messed up. It that works. Okay. But, you know, the
That's
stuff
really
you
funny.
never know, right? Any
Yeah.
type of moments like that.
I mean, we had so many. So I was like going through them in my brain. There's one scene after Sydney tries running off the farm and she can't. And we were like running late on time that day. And I'm like sitting on a staircase. It's a really beautiful shot. It's like shot through one of the staircase poles. And I remember Michael, our director, we did one take of that and my voice cracked. And I was like, fuck, my voice cracked. God. And Felker was like, we got it. We love that. And I felt really insecure about it because I was like,
Sure.
no, like, that wasn't the best I could do, blah, blah, blah. And Michael was like, that was so raw and like real. And he was like, that's it. I want it. Like, no questions asked. And I remember being like, that kind of sucks. Like, fucking, you know, like being all upset about it. And then I
Right.
saw it. And I was like, that's why you trust your director. He like, it really was.
Yeah.
And then as far as like unexpected things on set, we were shooting in the middle of Indiana and we actually shot during the winter, came back home. And then a couple months later shot during the summer. So that was kind of fun. Cause it was like coming back to summer camp in a way.
Yeah, totally.
But during the winter portion, and I've never been to the Midwest before, during the winter portion, it was February. It was so cold and we had an ice storm.
Oh damn. That's
I didn't know that.
crazy.
Where do you live?
San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay. So it gets cold up there. An ice, I didn't know that an ice storm was a thing. And
Yeah.
we had to shut down. We like didn't have electricity for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
The location that we were filming on, there were fallen trees, and like the people that were working there got a flamethrower
Oh my God.
to get rid of the trees. And
Yeah.
it was wild. There were like electrical fires. And everyone rallied to finish our week. And the crew, like, nobody complained. We were in a house that had no heating. We could like see our breath inside
Damn.
as we were filming. Not one person complained. And I think that's the main takeaway for me from this shoot is that, like, this, I think our crew was 18 people, like 18 to 20 people. So it's very small.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've never seen more professional, hardworking, committed individuals. And I
Yeah.
probably never will again, because like that, it was such a special little like bubble of people finishing this. And yeah, we worked through an ice storm. So that was crazy.
That sounds crazy. That thank you for sharing that. That's definitely something I think a lot of people would appreciate who are listening to this, watching this movie. It's like you guys went through an entire ice storm to make this movie happen. And it's great to see people put so much care and love into the things that they're doing, especially a movie like this, where this has a lot of important themes as well, where there's a lot of like family dynamics, family themes, and stuff like that. Sometimes feeling like you're stuck in a loop and you're making bad decisions and you just want to right your wrongs, finding yourself and seeing what you're fighting for as well. There's a lot of great layers to this movie. And I think this movie does a really good job of that, where I think a lot of people are going to connect to it and connected to it in a very personal reason. And I think that's why, like, even in the middle of the night, laptop open, watching this movie, I could not take my eyes off it because I had some like, oh, I've definitely made mistakes in my past that I'm always trying to atone to, or I'm always trying to become a better person, or the dynamics of like I have with my own family and the connections I make with them and those relationships. Anybody can connect to that kind of stuff. And I think that's what makes this movie very special. And then you also got the most entertaining aspect of it as well. There's great action sequences, there's a great mystery involved. You see these very unseen forces. For the longest time, I was like, who are these people? Why are they trying to do this and do that? And like I said, going into this movie as blind as possible is going to be your best experience.
Yeah,
And
agreed.
just seeing how it all folds out and then the ending, man.
That's my
Woo!
favorite scene. The last scene of
Yeah.
the movie is my favorite scene.
Yeah, it stays with you. Like I said, like I was like kind of like shocked. I was like, I didn't sleep for like another hour afterwards, even if I should have had to. It's one of those things, and I kind of want to talk about those themes. What are, if there is like one message you want the audiences come out of this movie, besides the entertainment aspect of it, what would it be? Or any themes that kind of related to you in a way?
Yeah, I for me, like so much of it, this is a common theme in the movie is hope.
Yeah. Oh,
Holding on to
good.
hope.
Yeah.
And Sydney, her little beacon of hope is getting back to her daughter.
Yeah.
So that was her streamline thought. And then for Joe, his beacon of hope was rekindling his relationship with his sister from the
Yeah.
beginning to the end of the film. Like that is his sole purpose. And I think that I really related to both of them in that way because, I think life can sometimes feel really redundant and I think we all get in loops ourselves that are stagnant and you feel unmotivated and stuck and like holding on to the things that give you hope, at least for myself, like that's what keeps me going.
Yeah.
And then a big one as well, I think, is I hope people leave and like consider maybe reaching out to their siblings or or parents. Like I that to me was a really hard one because I've got siblings. But no, we don't all talk every day, and we're not as close as we could be. And I've like made an active effort after this movie to start being a better sibling because, yeah, that's what stuck with me.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that. That's nice. That's cool that it made that impact on you too. And I think it's going to make that impact on a lot of people too.
Hopefully.
Now it just makes me want to call my sister now.
Yeah, it is a thing, you know?
No, totally. Family is so important. You give it your all for family, right? There's things that it's worth sacrificing for, and that in the movie does show that too.
Yeah,
The stuff that we
and that
push
doesn't
ourselves.
have to be blood family as well. Like just like the
Right.
people that hold space for you,
Oh,
like
yeah.
chosen family, you know, like yeah, it's easy to forget when people are there for you and you're like, oh yeah, they're great and I should call them more often.
Absolutely. And always don't ever forget to tell people that you love them. I think that's also very important.
Yep, while
Just,
they're here.
yeah, it's like I love the fuck out of my friends and family, and I will
Yep,
always tell them that.
100%.
But as we're coming to a close on the interview, one quick thing, is there any more projects that's coming down the pipeline for you? Any more stuff within the horror realm or just other projects in general?
Hopefully, I've been working on development and producing, which is really exciting.
Nice.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and I'm helping ESX, which is a production company I've worked with before. I'm helping them get a horror department going. So hopefully,
Hell yeah.
hopefully we've got something soon. But yeah, just back to auditioning. We're gonna see what life is like now after the strike, and
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
kind of just back to
Back to work. Yeah, in the way.
the
Back to the
auditioning
grind.
of it all,
Yeah.
which I kind of missed. So it's nice to just like be flexing that muscle again.
No, absolutely. I hope all the best projects come to you. And it sounds like
Thanks.
you're producing as well, which is great. I just produced my first short film, and goddamn, it's hard work. It's like,
Congrats.
oh, thank you. We're still already in post-production. It's hard as hell, but
Amazing.
it's,
Yeah.
I love to see it. And I'd
No.
love to finally be a part of the filmmaking process instead of just talking about it.
100%. Yeah.
But no, congratulations on this film. You were
Thanks.
incredible in it.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here. I
No,
appreciate it.
thank you so much
And
for having me. You asked very thoughtful questions, so I
oh,
appreciate
I
it.
appreciate it. And please, everyone who's listening, please check this movie out when it goes streaming, if it goes in theaters. Do we have any word if it is going to be in theaters or streaming soon?
I don't know, but
All right.
XYZ and Rustic always figures something out, so we'll see.
Absolutely. XYZ is a great company. I love everything they put out.
Yeah, I
But
do too.
please seek this movie out when it does. It's incredible. Thank you again for being here.
Thanks.
But I was your host, Freddie, also known as Nighty Night. It was a pleasure serving you.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.